Good morning, afternoon, and night, folks. I hope you all are doing well. Welcome to part two of our Final Fantasy VII Remake review as part of the lovely Moshi Moshi Video Game Club. As discussed at the beginning of part one, we had some audio technical difficulties. It resulted in Sam and I having to use the audio recording of our Google Meet session. Unfortunately, that meant it was getting picked up on the laptop mic as opposed to our really nice microphone. So I apologize for the not phenomenal audio quality, but I do think our conversation is worth listening to. Appreciate your patience. Appreciate your understanding. Enjoy part two. Enough about story, though. Let's move into combat. It's funny. Most games, you would say this is what you spend the majority doing, but there probably is at least like 10 hours of cutscenes in the game. So
yeah.
On to combat. I'm going to read a quick explanation of how combat works in this game, just to give the audience some sort of foundation for how it works. Exploration and battle mechanics both take place in real time, like Final Fantasy XV. The game features an altered active time battle ATB system from the original, which gradually fills up slowly or can fill faster with attacks. Once it is filled, the player can halt the action and use special abilities such as magic, items, and special moves. The player can assign these specific abilities to shortcut buttons, allowing them to play in real time without pausing. Each special ability uses up a segment of that ATB bar. Player can switch between party members at any time during battle. Each party member has their own individual skills, such as Cloud's close quarters melee attacks and Barret's long range distance attacks. Players are able to use magic and summon large creatures, and a limit break gauge allows characters to perform more powerful attacks once charged. While the game has more real-time elements, strategic elements still remain, such as selected weapons and magic for each character to wield. Sam, I'll start off with you. What did you think of the combat system? Did the balance between real time and more strategy elements work for you? Do you wish it would have committed to something else? How did you feel about it?
The combat definitely appealed to me. Bryce smartly noted earlier that it's a fun mix of like the, you know, real time combat of Kingdom Hearts while still like winking and nodding at elements of the original game that fans are going to look for, like materia or the active time battle system. I think the thing for me was, and maybe again, it just comes down to how long this game was, that I did just kind of get not sick of the combat, but it became very like back of the brain, not requiring much thinking on my part. I had learned 20-ish plus hours in which enemies needed which materia to tackle, which characters would be best to fight them in that scenario. And it was really fun for the first two-thirds of the game to learn all that, to spec out, you know, the material loadout and to level up each person's weapons. And like, it was funny thinking about like Tifa getting better gloves and all that. But yeah, I think just it didn't introduce enough elements to sustain the game's length. Although shout out to the boss battles, which did like, while the combat didn't change, the way you went about fighting the boss battles was very engaging, as were the optional summon boss battles that you could do to unlock more summons. Those were really fun.
Yeah, the combat is probably the second most successful thing, third most successful thing for me after character and world building. I often push up against action games due to what I would say is built up tedium, or built up repetitiveness, that it often works for me for a bit until I feel like either the game is not requiring me to learn new skills or introducing enough new elements. I think this game, of all of the action games, I would say this is closer to an action game than it is a turn-based game. I'm trying to think of like another example of something in between, but it pushes that off the furthest. I think it does multiple things to keep you much more engaged with the combat than other action games do. Obviously, materia and weapon choices, great way to keep you involved outside of the action. The choice to make each character playable, I think, is something that maybe doesn't get discussed enough, because that is very peculiar. And not only that you have the option to play as them, but I think most of them feel good. I understand, because Barrett functions as a tank. He is slow. He's not really fun to play as. Like, he's a nice, let's switch over real quick, but he's not someone I found myself constantly engaging with. But everyone else, I enjoyed messing with, especially Aerith later on. I enjoyed spending a lot of my time with her. And then obviously, I think the thing that makes it most engaging is the one thing that makes it not completely an action game, and that is the use of the ATB system and getting to choose and kind of slow down that combat with magic or items or whatever of the sort, or a specific like action power move with your character. It makes it, as it is called, an active time battle system. It makes it more active. It makes me more conscious while I'm playing. It's making me think and consider, which is probably why some people have said that this game works better on hard, because it goes from something that might be a little more mindless to something more engaging and precise. I don't think that's the experience I wanted with this game. I think I liked it. Made me think about it, but I didn't have to think too hard. If I made the wrong decision, it didn't fuck me over completely. But I think it feels crunchy, and it's fun. It has the scale. It has everything we've talked about. Bryce, what did you think of the combat?
I agree with you. I feel like the combat was a great blend between just like action oriented, because you can use like the shortcut command, which is like very prevalent in like Kingdom Hearts games, or you can switch to the like slow down ATB. Like you tap L2 and everything slows down. You're able to strategically pick your abilities or your magic. It sounds like, it's funny, it sounds like, Sam, you did want hard mode, because in hard mode, you have to very strategically pick out your materia before everything. You can't use potions. You have to use moves.
That's wild.
You have to use moves to heal. So like there's an ability called prayer, or an ability called chakra, that are like keyed to materia, and you have to use those to heal, or just normal cure moves. But like, I feel like it basically, like, you'll go into a battle, and like, if you really know what you're doing, then you can use the shortcut command, the quick menu that just pops up. But 9 times out of 10, you're slowing things down to figure out, okay, who's going to do what? Like, who do I set up in the background to be executing these magic attacks while I'm in the foreground? Like, hard mode made me reevaluate everything. And also made like my head scream, because I got ADHD. So it's like, I really had to like focus in on it. But I also feel like with that experience, though, it made the game longer. So I don't know, like, with it becoming more strategic in hard mode, with you actually being challenged with the normal fights, aside from, and the boss fights, because they act differently now. They have like different tactics. I feel like it made the game longer by like a good, probably like 5 hours. So,
see, it all comes back to, this game just needs to be shorter. Everything would be fixed.
I did really like, though, the combat generally, whether it's in normal or hard mode. Like, I really liked using Cloud. He could switch between his like his quick attacks with his operator mode, or like his punisher mode.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really does. Yeah. That Buster Sword, dude.
You really feel like you're hitting hard or hitting fast, depending on like what stance you take.
They do a great thing with the animation for his swing and the speed at which, like, when you switch it into like the heavier mode and it does like lift, and then it's like the quick, there's something about that is so precise. And if that is messed up, that entire, I mean, the main combat of the game just doesn't work. Uh-huh. They have it down so good, exactly how you want the big ass sword to feel. It feels that way.
Yeah. Oh,
so good.
I agree with your thoughts on Barret Sam, where like it's fun to like switch to him to like quickly take out enemies, but like he's not someone I'm gonna like stick around on for a long time. And I do feel like there are some moments in the game where like they do make you focus just on Barret, where like I felt like it dragged a bit.
There was one boss that sits primarily in the air. I don't remember which one it was, and I was like, ugh, this is basically just like get the other characters to function as a distraction as I stand in the corner with Barret and like hold down the attack button so he shoots.
Yeah. I think it's the where they're like, are they like trying to go over the wall that chapter?
Yes.
Okay. That's a
you're like in like high like. You're in like high walkways.
Yeah.
That boss.
Barret, it'll be interesting to see how they change him in the sequel. But he was all right. Aerith, I feel like, is hit or miss. Sometimes I really like her because she is she's a incredibly strong magic wielder, and like all of your strongest magic attacks you want on her, or even like your healing stuff you want on her. But like I like getting up close and personal with Tifa and Cloud, and you can't really do that all the time with Aerith, and her dodge like kind of sucks. Like she got a little twirl and it's just, I'm like, you're not the preferred way I want to play. So I feel like I'll pop to Aerith or pop to Barret for a bit, but then mainly go back to Tifa and Cloud, because Tifa is just, she's like a fighting game character. Like you can do juggles. If you really like go to YouTube and type in like advanced like Tifa gameplay, there's some crazy stuff you probably like don't even know how to do. Stuff that I probably haven't even figured out, because she's just like, she can juggle characters and lock them and stun them, and it's great like going back and forth. But the one last thing I have to say about the combat is that it was really elevated to me. I had finished my first playthrough, and friend of the show Sam Kingma actually put me on this YouTuber called Tim Rogers, and he made a video on Final Fantasy VII Remake, and he had this whole section where he started talking about the combat and referring to it like an esports game. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, what? But then I started to realize what he meant, where like the game really flows and elevates if you're able to, you know, use one character, set up an attack, then switch to another character, set up an attack, then switch up to another character, set up an attack, and then just let them all unleash at once. And I feel like normal mode doesn't really allow for that all that much, but like you kind of have to play the game that way on hard mode. But I feel like just that sort of like esports way of combat, where you're able to switch back and forth between characters, is really cool and really unique. And you don't have to play the game that way either. You can just play like a Kingdom Hearts game if you want. So I like the just overall versatility of everything.
That's a fun way to think about it, as a one player controlled team based game, where like you're listening to your teammate and your teammate's doing the finisher and you're all setting it up together. And I think like this is how I feel about fighting games, and how I don't love most of them, is like some stuff is just user error, where I'm sure there are ways to play this game in the combat that I would have found myself compelled through the entire thing, and I am just not executing on how the game wants me to do that. And this is a conversation, like a larger conversation about how you critique games, but like, is that a fault on the game for not pushing me down those paths and forcing me to use all of its things? Or is that a fault of me for not engaging with those systems? I'm not here to answer that question, but overall, I think this is one of the strongest things. It's one of the things that makes me want to return to the sequel.
I've heard. So, Bryce, did you play the Yuffie integrated content? Yep.
Yeah.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. That introduces like a new concept game, like combat concept called like synergies, where you're more readily encouraged to like combine team members' abilities.
Yeah, you essentially click the R2 button and you'll be able to, it's hard to explain, but you'll be able to like synergize with another character, and the combat becomes much more flowy. you're able to you're really versatile in like what you can do. Like the characters in the background will now like help you out with attacks. They'll have team up attacks. They'll be able to save you from specific damage if you're in that like specific mode. And I think that Rebirth has that for every character now. Feel much more flowy, I guess.
I was reading that kind of per our conversation about is normal too easy, that the normal mode of Rebirth is harder than Remake, and that it does require you to do more planning and be more thoughtful, but the synergies having them for every character from the start of the game makes the combat even more dynamic and, mm-hmm. and fun to play around with everybody. So yeah, that is definitely something that like is makes me intrigued about continuing the saga.
Apologies for being on my phone. I looked down and I was like, what is all this type? And I guess I pressed the microphone button. So I don't know if anyone had scrolled up in the document, but there was a very large paragraph of, I deleted it now. It was a very large paragraph of what I guess I or you had said for a very long time. So I was trying to get that out of the document. That's enough about combat. Some other things before I want to get into kind of questions about legacy and the sequel. One note, soundtrack is banging. I don't really have much else to say besides that, but that it's phenomenal.
It's so good.
Yeah, Bryce, how does it like? I mean, I know you played 7 and Remake pretty close together, but like, did it light up a bunch of like, you know, centers in your brain? Like,
I didn't even
the remixes and
not even really like some people. There are a couple songs where like I'm like, oh my god, like they redid this. Like of course Sephiroth's theme for the final boss, and there's a theme late in the game where you're fighting like this tentacle monster. And for 2/3 of the fight, it's just like a normal whatever theme. And then in the third phase, it's like a remix of like one of the most iconic like Final Fantasy VII songs. And I remember when I heard that, I was like, oh, like, let's go. But the one that stood out to me specifically was the remix of when you fight the Airbuster, the big robot in like chapter 7, right before you meet Aerith. That remix where it's just like 8 minutes long, it's got like a whole guitar solo, like that hit me in the nostalgia. But even removing my nostalgia aside, I feel like it's an incredible like soundtrack. It's every song has so much like love and care brought to it, and several songs have just like different variations and will like they'll like adapt to certain situations when you're playing the game. Like there'll be a song where it'll be like a lighter version of the battle theme. And then when you enter a battle, it'll pick up and then lower itself once you're out of the battle again. But the song will keep ebbing and flowing. So I adore this soundtrack. It's great.
Yeah. Non-Nintendo video game music rarely stands out to me. And so the fact that after like one or two battles, like, damn, the battle song is one of the best pieces of video game music I've ever heard. It's mm-hmm. so yeah. The orchestration just, it's cool to hear these melodies that I know done with such, on such a big scale with, you know, clearly so much budget and love put into it. Final thing before legacy and stuff like that. Anything to say about the side missions? I tried to avoid them when I could.
I, again, encourage anybody to do the summons boss battles that you can do with the weird little research guy who's researched enough monsters to be like, oh, you want to fight a monster of my own? That stuff is cool. Although I wouldn't necessarily, that's like side content. The side missions, oh, I did a lot of them. And I'm going to be honest, other than the ones where you're like doing a power lift off at the gym.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that one was neat.
That one's fun. The rest are just like, I don't know, you're fighting the more basic monsters of the game. There's one where you go into like an abandoned lab and you fight a monstrous experiment gone wrong. That was pretty cool and gave me what I wished I got from all of the side quests, which is either like a really surprising enemy or a cool character beat. but most of them felt like fetch quests.
I feel like half of the side quests are really interesting and kind of there are like really interesting character moments tied to it, or like very interesting world building moments tied to it. But then I also feel like half of them are just, yeah, fetch quests and kind of tedious. Chapter 3, I kind of give a pass because I'm biased. I like Tifa like a lot, so I give most of those a pass. But chapter 8 with Aerith, I feel like some of them definitely outstay their welcome. Chapter 14 was the chapter that's right before you go over like the wall. That dragged the most. I feel like the only missions that really I would say like play as many as you can are the ones in Wall Market, like in that area, whether it's like the pull up one or it's just like extra battles. Like those are really interesting and have a lot of NPCs that you won't find anywhere else. So like it's very cool to see those. But I was going to say something else about the side missions and I lost it. I forgot.
Good. Thank you for recommendations, because I think that's something that's good for any game. And I know some of the big gaming websites run stuff like that and have lists of, well, these are the side quests you should go and find out. But I appreciate the recommendations.
I remembered what I was going to say now. Some missions are tedious, but I also played Final Fantasy 16. And comparing it to that, even though I like that game, the side missions in that are so tedious. They drag so long. Yeah.
Quick question. You don't even need to explain on it. Which one do you like more? So I presume 7 Remake over 16?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I 7, there's a question in here that we didn't skip, or that we did skip, but it's you wrote, how successful is the elemental driven combat? Like, I really like in this game how you can like, you have to figure out like what a enemy's weakness is and then like fight accordingly. Whereas in Final Fantasy 16, anything works. So like you'll be going up against like a ball of fire, like a literal ball of fire, and you'll be like, oh, like ice should work, but you can just use fire against it and kill it. Like I definitely like 7 more for that reason specifically.
I did like busting out the air attacks against anything that was like flying.
Yeah, that's really fun.
I wrote down this question. I don't even know if it's worth talking about. So I wrote down, will this trilogy or the original be remembered? And I think we kind of answered this question in our conversation about what this game does with its story and why maybe some other franchises in Remake should consider it, which is because it has distinguished itself so much from the original. I think both will be remembered. I don't think there's any way that this erases the original, and I don't think that there's any way that this, at this point, this part of the franchise will be like, oh, like, well, you should just play the original. You can ignore this.
For exactly what you said, I think both will be remembered because this has a reason to stand on its own, not just for the story reasons we spoiled earlier, but for the combat and for the way that it expands and deepens our love with all of these characters that has persisted for over 25 years now. Whereas you take a remake like, I mean, it was nominated for Game of the Year last year, but I think Resident Evil 4 Remake, to my understanding, an amazing game. I don't think anybody's necessarily, like, when people talk about Resident Evil 4, they're still going to think of the PS2 and GameCube version, and they're going to be like, yeah, it's cool that they remade it. I don't think the conversation will go any further than that.
Yeah. I agree with both of you guys. I think that both will be remembered. I feel like the original is too tied in with just gaming culture or not lore, but history in general.
Yeah.
Like it is a seminal PlayStation game. And it was like the first 3D Final Fantasy. A lot of people hopped on board onto the series with that. But I also think that this will bring a whole bunch of new gamers and be kind of the entry point for a lot of them. The remake will be. So I feel like both will be very much remembered, especially since like Remake it's established itself as not a full-on remake, so it's not like meant to replace the original. Like, you still always have to bring up the original in some way, shape, or form when talking about this one, because they're so closely tied in both like story and everything else. So I don't think they'll be forgotten.
I mean, with how Rebirth reviewed, it sounds like there's a lot of hype going into, I mean, definitely the third, but I mean, the reviews, I will sum them up, and then Bryce, I have a question for you. Reviews in terms of evolution from this game is, obviously we have gone from what some people like, some people didn't like about the linearity of the original game to it is an open world game that many people have compared to a Ubisoft game in ways that there are towers to tackle and there are...
You know what it is? I'm sorry, I have to interrupt you.
Interrupt.
You know what it is? Take a wild guess on what Rebirth is. What it's a game that we played already.
Oh, Horizon Forbidden West, baby! Oh,
literally, I've only seen like 10 minutes of gameplay, but looking at it, it is literally Horizon Forbidden West, but just with a Final Fantasy VII remake coat of paint on it. Like, wild. The gameplay, the open world gameplay, the way you collect things, the way the side mission structure is, it's somebody on the dev team really liked Horizon. So
I mean, that seems to be one of the biggest talking points, along with that, similar to this game, it has managed to take the feeling and love from that original part of the game and evolved on it here. Obviously, we already talked earlier about the potentially divisive ending. So, Bryce, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is your excitement level for Rebirth? Are you jumping in soon, or is it like, I'm going to get into it in a few months?
No, I'm hopping into it right away.
Hell yeah.
That's why I went to go play Remake over again. I wanted to like refresh my memory. And so I'm hopping. It's coming out on Thursday, right? On the 29th. Yes.
A week from recording, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm hopping in right away. I'm going to be streaming it.
Where can people find that, Bryce?
I thought you were doing this at the end of the show. But
yeah. We can do it twice.
You can check out my stream at twitch.tv/crossoutbryce. I streamed the original. I'm going to be streaming. I streamed the original. I streamed Remake twice. I'm going to be streaming this on Thursday and then also on Friday. And then if you don't even like Final Fantasy, I'm streaming Kingdom Hearts. So for the first time, yeah. It's kind of wild. I didn't know. Yeah.
I've never played it. That's wild. So
I got to the jungle as a kid in the first game and then never touched anything else. And so now I'm going through it for the first time and people are like seeing my reaction to it. But
where are you at right now?
I'm on Birth by Sleep. So
we're way in the franchise.
Yeah, yeah. No, I started this in May of last year. So, and I haven't been like playing it like consistently, but I just brought it back. And so, yeah, well, I'll probably beat Birth by Sleep tomorrow. So
two Kingdom Hearts related questions. One, what's your favorite game so far? Two, what's your favorite world so far?
Favorite game. So beforehand, okay, actually I want to make a addendum. I did actually play, so I was like Sam, where like Sam played Crisis Core first. I did play Birth by Sleep first before everything.
Hell yeah.
And it made no sense. It made zero sense.
That's technically the first in the timeline, right?
Yeah. But I only played it because it was a PSP game.
Yep.
So I was like, I guess I'm playing this, and it made no sense. But like, there's a part of me that's like, oh, that's the best game because it's the one I started with.
Yeah.
But I think so far, gameplay wise, I think 2 is the best. Story wise, I think Birth by Sleep, because it's understandable. Like, you can kind of hop in and kind of understand what's going on, and there's not any craziness to it just yet. But I don't know, that might change as I go further. But
Sam, is there any chance you jump into Rebirth?
Again, this is a good game, and I'm gonna be honest, leaving off on like the laboratory stuff that Bryce was describing in chapter 14 with really the game's like I think worst side quest just left such a bad taste in my mouth that like this has kind of refreshed it and been like, oh man, like it really interests me in finishing it and doing Rebirth and like seeing, you know, some of the open world stuff intrigues me. Like I've seen the great Chocobo racing praise and people love the board game. And I am so, I mean, we've already acknowledged it. I am so fucking interested, even if a lot of people think it's bad, and what they're doing with the ending, which I assume is Aerith's death. Like if I'm going to try to avoid spoilers, cause maybe I do play it, but like, if you're telling me the whispers like come in and like, try to prevent it, or like the characters are trying to prevent it and like they interfere and make it happen, like that sounds interesting.
So I
do you know what happens?
No, I don't want to know. One thing I think is going to happen, well, they said like the whispers should be gone at this point because like we defeated them at the end of Remake, but I did catch a trailer where like they're alluding to that scene and I caught a whisper in the background. So I'm like, what?
What the fuck?
So I don't know. I think my prediction, I guess, is that I think that she still might die. I don't think it's going to be at the same point. Mm. Like we're going to get to that area and something's going to happen to stop it. And it's going to happen later on in the game. But going off of just Rebirth, I feel like there will be less padding moments. If you do decide to give it a try, I feel like there will be less padding moments because it'll be more closely following the original game now. I do feel like there will be some, of course, because they'll probably flesh out some Crisis Core stuff. I'm taking the guess because why would they release Crisis Core again? So I feel like there will be like a couple padding areas, but I don't think it will be to the extent of Remake. I feel like it, but at the same time though, I also do think if you do decide to get in to do this, you're going to have to lock in for 40 hours. Yeah, I think the main story will be 40 hours.
This whole conversation really built me up and had me excited. And then, Bryce, to be honest, you fucking said the three words, Horizon Forbidden West. I'm like, I can't do it again, man. Like, I'll read here. We have a bunch of review quotes pulled up, and I won't read all of them. But, like, Todd Harper at Polygon writes, I got him, and he recommends the game, all this being said. But this quote is what scared me, which is, I got my answer in the end, in that the thing is worth playing. But my concern is that by the time I reached it, I was exhausted. This game is immense and not always in a good way. As with Remake, I think the most glaring issue with Rebirth is that Square Enix wants, even needs it to be huge in scope. Worse, it's a pseudo open world game, meaning that some sins prevented by Remake's more contained structure are allowed to run unchecked. So I don't know. It's a bit of devil's advocate where like, whereas it sounds like some things get better because it's more open, it also means the game gets even longer.
Yeah, I'm not going to jump in. I'm not going to jump in. I am torn, especially the same way. Like after this conversation, it reminds me of the things I do like about the game. I just know I will leave that game probably feeling the exact same way I do now, which is that the characters are great. I love the world. I think the game is more interesting than I actually enjoy moment to moment. And when a game is going to take me 55 hours, that moment to moment matters more than anything else. And I will happily, I've already listened to 3 podcast reviews. I will definitely watch story recaps and enjoy all the content on the outside. But with how many games I have on my backlog, how many games I want to play, I do knowing how I felt about the first game. And unless I hear someone, unless I get to a review where someone says, hey, I played the first game. I thought it was like good. I liked it. And holy shit, I love this game. It fixed XXX problem. Those problems, the problems I had, then I'll jump in. But I haven't gotten there
Barrett yet. Courtney of Kind of Funny did say that. He said he's like, I'm kind of a Remake hater and this one won me over.
But I don't think his the reasons he didn't like it are the same reasons you disliked it. One of them was very similar, which was bloat. That one's not fixed.
Yeah.
And arguably that's my biggest problem. So
he said that the bloat wasn't fixed?
Correct.
Okay. I feel like if you for all the listeners, I was just making faces while thinking. I feel like if you, unless you're like already loving this game series, or you have an attachment because you played the original, or you're like a streamer and you're playing it for some reason, for X reason, like it will feel daunting, like Horizon Forbidden West did. I feel like the best way to take a game like Rebirth is going to be like over time, over the course of like multiple months, because I can imagine it just being overwhelming and draining if you're trying to beat it in like 2 weeks, like a reviewer has, or something like that. I thinking about the bloat, I feel like it will fix combat issues. I feel like it will fix some dialogue issues potentially, and some character interaction moments and stuff that maybe might not have hit or felt awkward. I feel like with the bloat, I definitely feel like more of it will be optional. Like it won't have the same mandatory bloat where you're doing something that feels like filler or something that might not be in the original game. I feel like the moments that will be like greatly expanded, which maybe Barrett Courtney was talking about, or like, you know how there's Wall Market in this game where like that's the big like main area, the big set piece area, there's going to be two in Rebirth, and I can tell that they're already going to be like big massive pieces, so maybe that's what he's referring to. But I feel like more of it will feel necessary to the story that's being told, rather than just being like, okay, why are we doing this, or this feels like it shouldn't be here. I feel like those moments, while they still might be in there, like a mission here, a mission there, that's to the main story, that's like linked to the main story, but like it just feels like bloat, less of them will be there. So
yeah, you kind of mentioned like ways in which I would end up playing this. Like if for some reason I got into streaming, like I could see myself streaming this game, as that would be like a way to elevate beyond just playing by myself in an isolated experience. Also, if when this game comes to PC, it can run on a Steam Deck, my chances of play it also go up, as like this is a kind of game that longer games are easier for me to handle. It's because I feel like I can chip away at it much easily, much easier than I can. So
100%. Like that's the only way actually that I can play a Persona game is on a handheld. That's why I haven't played 5 until now, because I was waiting to get it on a Steam Deck. It definitely, what, like if your interest isn't there, then I feel like this may feel like a daunting task, even with just the main story. But I love this game series too much. I feel like even if I wasn't streaming it, I might be doing it slower, but I would still be pressing through it. I totally understand the criticism where people have said that it feels exhausting because there's just so much to do. Yeah.
Folks, that was Final Fantasy VII Remake plus a little conversation about Rebirth. Any final comments on the 2020 remake? I would argue it will probably end up going down as a classic.
Yeah, I agree. I'm glad I experienced it, even if just to know that, like, ultimately, I don't think this what will end up being at least 90-hour experience if you mainline, probably let's say 100-hour experience, all three games combined, if you hard mainline them. Probably isn't ultimately for me. I think it's really cool that it gets made. And as we hinted at earlier, I hope it inspires other ambitious and unconventional remakes, because remakes are going to keep happening. So might as well make them interesting.
Right. We need Epic Mickey to do this treatment. Now.
Yes. We don't get Oswald in there trying to recreate and, you know, rewrite history.
You heard it here, folks.
Congratulations on that remake, by the way. I know you're a huge fan of that game series.
Next Moshi Moshi Video Game Club will be Bryce will be back on for Epic Mickey Rebrushed. But Bryce, once again, we will require you to be our former game liaison. So whip out your Wii. We need you to play the original so you can go over story changes there were.
I'll play the remake of Epic Mickey. I never played the original, so
I'm kind of interested. Before we go, I want to do one last thing. Towards the end of my plane, the last time I edited this was April 12th, 2023. I realized we weren't going to be recording this episode for a while. So I started taking notes, but it was I should have been taking notes from the start. So I have four short comments written down.
Okay.
I wrote down Red saying, quote, "We still could die tonight. Tifa and Cloud might be dead already." I don't know why I either thought that was funny or important, but I wrote it down. I wrote down the back and forth between gameplay and cutscene is brutal. That must have been in those final three missions when you are like doing like 10 seconds of walking or like opening a door and then they are cutting to a cutscene and then you're fighting for 20 seconds. Didn't enjoy that.
Yeah,
I wrote too many quote gameplay segments where you move at 10% speed. We already talked about that. And then my favorite comment, Tifa saying, quote, "I need a shower," over and over. Found that interesting.
The gamers would like that, wouldn't they?
They would love for her to take a shower over and over.
All I have to say is that you reminded me of, I guess, what some people who watch me on Twitch call one of my iconic moments, which is which is when I watched Advent Children, I reacted to it. And Red 13, you know, like he has a very gruff voice. He talks like this, like Tifa and Cloud might be dead already or stuff like that, right? But in Advent Children, he doesn't show up for most of it. And then at the very end, he pops in and he's like, "There's still much to be done." And I'm like, yeah, like what the f-? Like, huh? Like he has this like posh British voice and he's very soft spoken. And I'm like, that is not how he sounds. Like, I just couldn't cope with it. And they fixed it in remake. And so I'm happy with that now. So
no better way to go out than on a lovely British accent. It is time for our only segment of the Moshi Moshi Video Game Club. And that is Shelf Space, where we rank every single game we play on the club. I'm going to read them down since it's been so long, from number 21 all the way down to number 1. Starting at the bottom, SimCity, Pilot Wings, The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword HD, F-Zero, Gradius 3, Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart, still fucking criminally low, It Takes Two, Horizon Forbidden West, criminally high, Halo Infinite, Deathloop, The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past, Super Mario Sunshine, Doom 2016, Super Mario World, Citizen Sleeper, Returnal, Kirby in the Forgotten Land, Doom Eternal, Portal, Journey, and Cuphead, parentheses, and The Delicious Last Course. Bryce, always toss it to the guests first. First thoughts, where do you think remake slots in? I'm going to tell you now, you're going to lose probably wherever you'd like it to be. So just throw it out for the fun of it.
Right. Yeah, I am going to lose.
Right, by a lot.
Right under Returnal at number 7.
Hey, I admire the boldness. I don't think you could win having where it over do you guys Super Mario it? Sunshine for Jake.
Oh no, I adore Super Mario Sunshine. If I'm being so, there's two again. Our list is fucked. So like, the highest I could put it is above A Link to the Past at number 10. That is the highest I would put it because I argue I like it equally to A Link to the Past, maybe a little less. That's like I could ship it. Where I otherwise think of it is at number 17 above Gradius 3. I love Rift Apart. That is like, I probably the best PlayStation 5, I guess, but besides Returnal, best PlayStation 5 game right now. I like it. It's like equal to It Takes Two, but either number 17 above Grady's 3. I also really like F-Zero. So I could see it at number 19 above Skyward Sword. See, Bryce's face right now is one of disgust and confusion, I bet Sam's on the same train.
Very much confusion. One, first of all, just because Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart is at 16, and I thought that that was like a good game. So I'm surprised that that's so low.
Yeah.
I don't know if I listened to that episode.
It's because he doesn't like It Takes Two. So like things have to go above It Takes Two, which bumps
right
the part down. I can sacrifice one for the many.
And I know you, so I don't like Deathloop. And Deathloop being so
thank
high.
Thank you.
Deathloop being so high bothers me all the time. Every time I hear
that. It's because we had a Deathloop fanboy on that episode who helped Jake.
Two Deathloop fanboys.
So when you said like, oh yeah, I can put it like above Link to the Past, I was like, as long as it's above Deathloop. But honestly, as long as it's above It Takes Two, because there's no way that you hate Final Fantasy VII Remake more than It Takes Two. You despise that game.
The funny thing is, and now that time heals all wounds, is that the game is fine. It's the above Rift Apart thing that makes me so angry, because if you were like, Jake, do you want to replay It Takes Two? I would push that person down the stairs. But if they were like, Jake, do you want to play Rift Apart? I would smile and give them a hug. And it's that disparity that is really aggravated my thing. Here's the thing, Sam, you also don't like Horizon Forbidden West. So where do you see this sitting?
Like, my gut instinct looking at the list was, okay, either the new 14 above Horizon Forbidden West or the new 17 above Gradius 3.
Since Bryce wants it so high, I feel like this is supposed to be a cohesive list from us and the guests. Do we not agree?
Yeah, well, yeah, of course. Like, Bryce is the tiebreaker. He has, you know, we all have equal votes. So, like, if Bryce is like, yeah, let's put it above Horizon Forbidden West, yeah. Like...
Yes, above the new number 14, above Horizon Forbidden West, which is crazy that because that's the other game that I was here for. But like, yeah, I definitely think it deserves that spot.
Are you fine with that, or would you rather have it lower? Because you and I can also.
You're just making the case for letting Bryce have them.
It's.
I think it should be. I like Rift Apart more.
So do I. Can we? Fucking hell, that goofed this entire list, because we wouldn't be having this problem if Rift Apart was anywhere else. Because realistically, Rift Apart for me would be number 10. No, number 11.
I mean, as you keep saying, the list is locked.
No,
we can never revise it.
We cannot change it.
Why is it locked?
Because for these conversations, so the list is forever goofy. I'm fine. I can live with it at 14. I like Rift Apart much more, but I guess I like Remake more than It Takes Two, so...
I mean, okay. If it really... Because I like It Takes Two. I actually like that
thank
game.
Thank you.
So do
I. If you really feel in your heart of hearts that it should sit at 17, then I get it. I understand. I would not... I would have a problem, I feel... If you guys put Gradius 3 over Final Fantasy VII Remake, but it would be taking its place. So I'm fine with it being at 14 or at 17. Personally, I feel that 7 Remake is a better game than Forbidden West. And I feel like I had infinitely more fun
with
7 Remake than Forbidden West. But
okay, let's put it at 14.
Okay.
Let's do it. Because I, if I'm going to ever go back and play a game, it would be Forbidden West. But it's weird. This is where, like, the critical lens versus the personal lens is really big. Because I think what Final Fantasy VII Remake is doing on, in like, creative and artistic level is much more interesting than what Forbidden West is doing. Mm-hmm. But I would rather play Forbidden West.
See, I'm the opposite. It has like a DLC that's come out, and I still feel burnt out from 2022. So I don't know when I'm going back to that.
Folks, Final Fantasy VII Remake is the new number 14. You can go back and listen to the list and do the mental math. You can handle it, folks. Bryce, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a fantastic episode. God, I miss these clubs. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to finally do this.
I know. Thank you for patience. Thank you for doing the homework, for playing the original game, the remake twice.
No worries, everyone, no worries.
Again, twitch.tv/crossoutbryce.
Yeah, so you can find me across all social media, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch especially. I stream 3 times a week at crossoutbryce. So twitch.tv/crossoutbryce or on Twitter, Instagram at crossoutbryce. Yeah. Crossoutbryce. Sorry, my voice gave out. But yeah. Yeah, so you can find me there. I do art and I stream. So
y'all go check him out. Thank you so much for coming. Sam, where can people find you?
Everywhere at Sam Scott Mosier. On real-time strategy this week, we're talking with the game director of Lisvanga, the Timeshift Warrior, which you might have heard recently discussed on an episode of The Besties. Where can the people find you, Jake?
Jake W. Mosier, Instagram and Twitter. On the Content Cube, our February episode was up. We had topics, and then I think we devolved into a conversation about canon and why the idea of canon has ruined a lot of good franchises and media.
My favorite proposal of that episode was Brian being like, I don't care about gaming anymore because my frontal lobe is developed.
Yeah, it is a development. He does, his video game time has dwindled. He probably doesn't even think about Deathloop anymore now that his frontal lobe has developed. But that's where you can find me. That has been the Super Mosier Brothers Show. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Shout out to Mitski Kawena for the podcast artwork. I finally saw you. I still love and miss you, Mimi. Shout out to Thami vs. Remix for the music. Send any comments, questions, concerns to our email, thesupermosierbrothershow@gmail.com or our Twitter account, @supermosierbros. And most importantly, subscribe and leave us a review. We'd really, really appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your day. We love you. Jump up. Be kind. Jump again. Be a goddamn superstar.
Woohoo!